Continue on part three, about America's most wanted, needed, the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your daily life. Every single day you need him. I said the Holy Spirit that lives in you is different from the spirit that's in this world. The spirit that's in this world is greedy, he's needy, he's crazy, selfish, it's petty. That's the spirit of the world. What's operating in the world, but the Holy Spirit is a generous spirit that lives and abides on the inside of us. Jesus did not promise the spirit that the world operates by. He gave us something so much better. And as the world focuses on self, and it's all about what you can get, the Holy Spirit has us focused on Jesus and what he has said and done. Focus on his will, not ours. And there are times in our lives and where the way of the world may creep into our life, but that's a good reason for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's times where we may do something that the world may have done or what have you. But see, when the Holy Spirit is operating in our lives, it's like we're being continually filled. It's like that pitcher that may have some residue left in it. But when you put some dishwashing soap and some water in it and you just let that thing run, just run over, that stuff will just begin to come out of you. The things of this world will come out of you. Why? Because you're being filled with the Holy Spirit. God wants to transform your lives, each and every one of you. See, we don't have the right to change other people. I can't go around changing people. We can impact their lives, but he wants to transform your life through his word. Allow that to take place. If you haven't yet, allow it to take place. In 1 Corinthians 2, if you got your Bibles, open up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. The New King James Version. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Sometimes we can get caught up in being the underdog. The world has sold this thing where we, you know, the underdog will always prevail. We're not the underdog in the kingdom. We are the favorite. Because everything that God has given you is not so that you can make this big old comeback. It's the fact that you're already favorite. Every single day you're walking in that victory. You're not the underdog. All right. Y'all know y'all can shout and say amen. I'm not going to get upset. You are God's favorite. And what he has given you far exceeds anything what the world can offer you. It's way better than you can imagine. Remember, that's the launching pad. But now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think, where our ceiling stops, that's where God begins. What you can think, what you can believe, what you can ask for, God will take it to another level. Let's start with the relationship first. The world would chase after these things. But when you are walking with God and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, then he says all these things will be added to you. Can you imagine just walking with the Lord? Sometimes people will just veer off to the right. They'll veer off to the left. And then eventually they'll come back to the Lord, which is good. They'll go in chasing after other things. But if you're walking with the Lord, you become a magnet to those things. They'll become attracted to you rather than you being attracted to it. So you don't ever have to waste your time going and chasing and seeking and getting and all this other stuff and hustling and all that other things. You just stay focused on your relationship with Jesus. Those things will come to you. They'll present itself to you. You can pick and choose what you need for in your life. All these things will be added to you when you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Why? Because of your relationship with God. The life-giving spirit that lives in you has been freely given to you by God. And there are a lot of great things that come with being filled with the Holy Spirit. A lot of great things. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are being filled with God's love. that agape love, that unconditional love that God has given you. It comes from the fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. God didn't cheapen what he has given you. So we shouldn't water that down and cheapen it either, right? The world does not have the love of God in them. They cannot produce it unless they become born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. So you have an advantage over the world. You have a clear advantage over the things of this world. But just like any fruit, it has to develop. There are certain things within the fruit of the Spirit that has to develop. Patience, that's developed over time. Self-control, that's developed over time. Those things are developed over time, but it's in you. It has to grow. And the more and more you stay connected with God and in his word, and you water in the word that's in your heart, the more it has an opportunity to grow. Patience. I don't have patience. Faithfulness. That grows over time. In 2 Peter 1, 5, it says this, 1, 5 through 8, if you got that. 2 Peter 1. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ. It's very difficult to be unfruitful in the body of Christ when you stay connected to the vine. When you stay connected to Jesus, it's impossible to be unfruitful. Impossible. It's when you disconnect. You stop growing. It's like that fruit that falls off the tree. Maggots, worms, and all that stuff gonna get into it. Becomes rotten. You stay connected. In Galatians 5, it says this. This is the Passion Translation. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all of his varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. When you set the law above it, you limit God. You limit the fruit in your life. The Holy Spirit does not make mistakes. If the Holy Spirit has produced this in you, then it's your choice on whether or not you choose to walk and live by the Spirit. That's your choice. You got that choice every single day. We know that. We know that. I try to stay up here. I don't like it. I mean, not to say I don't like it. I like the roam. I like the graze. But if you walk by the flesh, you get flesh results. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not allow you to walk by the flesh. He will allow you to walk by the flesh all you want. If you want to live your life by the flesh, he'll let you do it. He's a gentleman. He will allow you to do those things. He will not interrupt you in that sense. He'll tell you, but we can choose to listen to him. But if you walk by the flesh, you get fleshly results. There's a lot of disappointment that comes with the flesh. You will not be satisfied with the flesh. The flesh will only bring you temporary happiness in which it will faithfully lead you on a journey away from God. Even though he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you, it's like we're constantly trying to leave him when we're operating in the flesh. That's why he says to live by the Spirit. You're going to get better results there. You're going to find more fulfillment there when we live our life and we walk by the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God that lives in you, allow him to lead you in your everyday life. He will not force you, but he will be the best counselor you ever can have. Because God will always be there for you. Choose his voice over everyone else's because God is for you. He is not trying to kill you off. Even still to this day, if I hear someone say that, it just gets under my skin. God was trying to do this and this happened. And it could be a great testimony, but you're going to have to understand the character and nature of God. God is not looking to take you out, because if he wanted to take you out, he'd take you out. It's not a cat and mouse game. But what God wants for us, we should want. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a suggestion, it's a command. You cannot fulfill God's will for your life without being filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be those valleys of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God ain't the one who brought that valley to you, but he will lead you through it. He will walk with you. And it's just a shadow. Remember, you can't be afraid of a shadow. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? So God did not give us the spirit of, but of what? Come on. When you're living your life by the Spirit, notice one of the fruit of the Spirit isn't fear. He didn't give it to you. So what should you ever fear in this life and in this world? In the trouble to come? Absolutely nothing. God's with you. He's got your back. He's got your front and your side. The Spirit of God lives in you. Fear does not exist. I've been watching Cobra Kai way too much. I grew up watching The Karate Kid and stuff, and one of the things that they said in the Cobra Kai dojo was, fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No, sensei. Fear does not exist in this house. Fear does not exist in your house, because the Holy Spirit abides in there. The Holy Spirit, that resurrection power lives on the inside of you. It doesn't abide in you. So when you sense fear trying to come upon you, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus that quick, and it'll leave. Why? Has no right to be there. When you set your mind on heavenly things, that fear has nothing to do in your life. You have dominion over it. The Holy Spirit. You are divinely protected by God. The Holy Spirit is yours. Whatever you are doing in this life, what God has called you to do, or even in what he has chosen you to do, the Holy Spirit can help you, because he knows everything about everything. On your job, he knows how you can do your job better. Everywhere you go, he knows what you can do in order to be better at it, or what have you, to help. He knows how to turn this nation around. He knows how to turn your job around. He knows how to turn the church around back to God. He knows how to do it, because it's going to be done through him. Because he's working. And Jesus is on the throne. The Holy Spirit is at work in us today, in the church. He knows everything about everything. In John 16, it says this, 16:13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. If the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come, then that means you have to have ears that will hear what he has to say. Sometimes you don't want to hear that. The Lord could be telling you, go ahead and do this. I don't, your flesh, I don't really want to. Go ahead and sow this. I don't really want to. Go ahead and take that trip. I don't really want to. That's going to cost too much, and we need to save. We need to do. You have to have ears to hear. Come on, spend some time with me. Get in the presence. I don't really want to. My favorite show's coming on. I'm about to binge watch some stuff. And the Lord is kind of like leading you. Hey, come on, spend some time with me. Spend some time with me. Come on, read the word with me. I'm going to show you some things. There was a season in my life where the Lord was waking me up. I remember crying out to God saying, Lord, I just want to get to know you more. All right. I want to do your will. Well, guess what he was doing? Waking me up at 4:59, 5 o'clock, or 5:01. And I hit the snooze. God, show yourself. I'm waking you up in the morning. Come spend some time with me. And there have been times I spend with them and other times I wouldn't. And then it so happened that we were in that apartment that we were living in, and kids were running around and playing and stuff. And I said, hey, listen, stop messing around, stop playing, or something's going to happen to you. They stop for a little bit and then they get to playing again, you know, just provoking each other and stuff. And you know how kids are. They start playing and somebody bumped their arm or hit something. I said, see, if you stop playing, if you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened to you. And then I heard the words, an audible voice, kind of like a whisper, a loud whisper. Exactly. About a month or two later, we move into where we're living today. They're moving boxes and they're getting to playing around and stuff like that. And they start playing again. And I said, hey, stop playing or something's going to happen to you. Remember what happened last time? They stop for a little bit. We're moving and they get to playing again, tag, whatever. And then something happened. I said, see, if you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened. And then again, exactly. And I thought about it for a second. Certain things that I was going through that season, I never would have had to go through it if I would have listened to the Lord. He was trying to show me something at 4:59, 5 o'clock, 5:01. Why? Because he will tell you things to come. He will tell you what Jesus has spoken to him. He will tell you that. He will show you that. Says he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. If you would have just been listening to him, you never would have gone through that. Or he would have made a way out for you a lot quicker than what it seemed. Stuff that could have taken a year or maybe a week to get out of, it ended up being a year because we weren't listening to God. The Bible says that now faith is. Faith is now. Not going to be. It's now. And sometimes we can be like, you know, I know God's going to heal me. I know he's going to do it. I know he can. He can do all of that. But here's the thing. He already has. It's when you get to the place to where and saying, okay, I know God has done it. Now let me just walk in it. I'll receive what he's done for me. He saved me, Lord. I believe what you've done for me. I believe you died on the cross for me. You're able to be saved right now. You're able to confess him as your Lord and Savior right now. Not going to be. He will help you solve problems on your job if you let him. He will give you the wisdom that you need to help solve problems that you are facing. The Holy Spirit will tell you what's going on with your kids. Ever happened to you when your kids were going out? Oh yeah, we're just going over here. And then the Holy Spirit said, oh, they're not going there. You pull on up. Holy Spirit will tell you that. He'll show you that. You ain't got to worry. Why? There's no fear there. He'll show you. All your kids are worrying. Oh my goodness. I can't get away with nothing. No, because God knows it all. He sees it all, and he'll tell your parents too if they just lean onto him. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. You have legal inside information. It's 100% okay to know what God knows. And what he wants you to know, it's okay to have that. We have that advantage. Because he wants you to know certain things, because you are his friend. Just like we sang in that song, I am a friend of God, you are a friend of his, and he will not allow you to be ignorant of anything. In John 16:14, it says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take care of mine and declare it to you. Jesus wants you to know what he knows. He wants you to see what he sees. He wants you to desire what he desires. He will make it known to you. And God does not want you to be ignorant. So let him lead. Let him talk. Let him speak through you. Let him make those decisions and lead you to make those decisions. There could be some tough decisions that you're going to have to make in life. Lean on the Holy Spirit. Ask him. He wants to tell you. No, God, I got it from here. He wants you to know. He's your counselor. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says this: trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. So if it feels like you're being stuck, like in life, you are just stuck, this verse will help you out. All right, Lord, I'm done doing my own thing. I want to lean onto you. What is it you want from me? Lord, I want to be able to impact people's lives. What is it you want from me? I did that one time walking down the hallway, had my Fitbit on, and I was just like, Lord, I just want to impact people's lives. I got to get 250 steps in. So I go from my office, walk to the end of the hallway, back to the end of the other hallway, the east. I'll go to the west and then the east and then come back to my office. 250, complete. But I remember walking and I got right here by the fountain. I said, Lord, I just want to impact people's lives for you, for the kingdom. He goes, you're going to have to get outside these walls in order to do it. Can't be sitting in here all day long. Don't have any contact with anybody else. Go home, eat lunch by myself because my wife was working and what have you. I was like, who are you around? You can't impact people's lives if you just keep them to yourself. Get outside these walls. So the very next morning, he says, when you get up and you go ahead and get your energy drink, just start saying hi to people. And I started doing that. And then that saying hi to them, because I would always wait for other people to say hi to me, being like that, you know. I'm out of my own business. I'm here to get my drink and I'm leaving. Let's go. Then I'll just start saying hi. They'll say hi back. And then eventually got to, how are you doing today? And then the floodgates would just open up. I say, okay. They just start sharing. So there were times I prayed for people. There were times where I sowed into people. There were times that the Lord had me heal, lay hands on people to heal. All because I just said, Lord, I just want to impact people's lives for you. If you feel stuck, God, that's all you have to do is just ask God, how do I get out of this? Lean not into your own. Lean not. You can lean this way. You can lean that way. No, no, no. God wants you to lean on him. Draw on him. You may not care about it, but he wants you to do that because you are the hands and feet. When it seems like every decision that you make is the wrong decision, stop and go to Jesus and find out what his word says and stick with it. Write it out, walk it out, speak it out, and live it out by faith. Write it out, speak it out, live it out, and walk it out by faith. And Mark chapter 5, this is a lengthy passage, but it's the woman with the issue of blood. It says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Who said this? She said this, right? Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She told him, I heard that you were coming. I heard that you were a healer. And I said within myself, I have been suffering for 12 years with this issue. All the physicians came, all the doctors came. They didn't do anything for me. I lost everything I had. And I heard that you were coming and I came and I just said within myself, if I may touch the hem of your garment, I will be made well. And then Jesus says, he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She told him everything that went on. And he says, your faith has made you well. But my question to you today is this. What does your faith make you do? Her faith made her well. What is your faith making you do? What does your faith do for you? If her faith made her well, and it's the same faith that we've given, her faith, her confidence, her trust in God made her well, what is your faith doing for you? Well, my faith makes me complain all the time. My faith makes me sick all the time. Her faith made her well. For she said, if I may touch. What is your faith doing for you? Makes you think. It's the same faith. Serving the same God. As a matter of fact, we have it better. She wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. Kind of makes you want to kick a chair or something. What am I doing? What does your faith do for you? Because if you have that faith, you have that trust in God, you should be getting results. Your relationship, first and foremost, should be extravagant. Just overflowing. Almost as if you're just floating on cloud nine. But sometimes it's not like that because of the troubles, the waves come crashing in and stuff. You know, a lot of times you're going to go through storms, but there's a such thing as too much rain. You know, too much rain is bad for you. Too much rain will flood stuff out, wash things out, and just leave it all desolate. Too much rain. And that's all you ever hear people talking about, storms and storms. I got this storm. Listen, you're going to need some sunshine in between those storms to dry everything up and start growing. Because rain will wash the seed out. It'll destroy stuff. Too much rain. Too much storm. Jesus' faith calmed it. What does your faith do for you? Jairus' faith got his daughter healed. But what does your faith do for you? The centurion, his faith healed his servant. What does your faith do for you? And what has it done for you lately? Is your faith unemployed? Have you put them to work lately? Have you put it to work lately? Every day you can do this. Put your faith to work. Every single day, put your faith to work. You might be sitting on the couch watching a show, but your faith doesn't have to do that with you. Put it to work. Put it to work. Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Well, made you whole. She didn't have a different faith than you. She trusted Jesus. That's why we lean not unto our own understanding. We acknowledge the Holy Spirit is our friend in our everyday lives. So we can just say, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We come to you for wisdom and guidance and advice on what to do in the situation at work, what to do in the situation in my family, what to do with the situation in the church, what to do with it. We're just asking for your wisdom. He'll tell you what to do. What to do with these my crops. What to do with these animals. What to do, whatever aspect in life and what you have, whatever you got going on, ask. What was that definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. You know to do what you know to do. But he knows better. He might just say, just tweak this a little bit. Just a little degree. And then next season, tweak that a little bit. It's just getting to the place of being obedient to him. Lord, what is it you want from us? you got to reconcile us within yourself to I'm not leaving until I get an answer. I'm not going to leave the presence of God until I get an answer. I wasn't going to leave until my migraine stopped. I worshiped for an hour and a half. Music blasted. Tunnel vision in the dark. Never had a migraine again because I purposed in my heart that I was not going to leave until it was done. And it has never, it tried to come back. But again, you use the word. What is your faith doing for you? It's not to try to, I'm not trying to condemn. I'm just like, man, we need to get after it. We need to trust God more. We are to pray God's will to be done here on earth as it is in. The Holy Spirit can help you with that. Not just to pray, but also to bring it to pass. But he needs your permission to do it. He intercedes with you. You have to yield to that. He won't make you do anything, but you have to yield to him. There's a scripture where Jesus was sick in John 11. It says, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha, who was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he immediately left. He stayed two more days in the place where he was. He loved them. They said he loved them. And then he ended up staying two more days. Why? Yielding to the Holy Spirit. He can only do what he sees the Father do, and he can only say what he hears the Father say. And sometimes that will prompt us to get up and leave. But you need to listen to the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and you don't have to be in a rush all the time. In order to yield, when you come to an intersection and there's traffic flowing, when you yield, you have to do what? When life is coming at you 150 miles per hour and we're supposed to yield to the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to pump our brakes and slow down and yield to him. Defer to him. Listen to him and allow him to lead us. You just getting us that some people like to play Frogger with it and just go on in. I'm going to just roll in. Yeah, I won't be riding with you. I'll be hitting those imaginary brakes and stop. In order for us to yield, we're going to have to slow down. Jesus, Lazarus is sick. Okay, let me get up and go. No. Stay there two more days. Sometimes the enemy may want you. Your flesh may want you to just get up and go. We got to get this. No. Listen first. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to you. It may be something totally different than what you might perceive in your own mind. Everybody's panicking. And you could just, Lord, what do you want? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? I got the news of my dad when he died that I said he went home to be with the Lord on the way to the airport. I didn't say nothing. And I'm just asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why? I'm ready to raise him up if I need to. I want to hear his voice. I didn't have to because he made the decision to go home to be with the Lord. But I was ready. What do you want me to do? Or what do you want me to do? We have to yield. In order to yield, you have to slow down. So if it seems like things are getting chaotic in your life, slow down. Apply the brakes. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Word of God. Find out what he's saying and what he's doing in your life. If he prompts you to pray for somebody, do it boldly. No, the scripture tells us to boldly come to the throne of grace. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So are you going to put the Holy Spirit to work in your life? Are you going to put your faith to work in your life? You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it in your own power. Fleshly, when we do things out of the flesh, we're going to get fleshly results. And it's just going to be temporary. I don't know about you. I talked about the gas station filling up last week. I've been broke so much, I had to put $2 in just to try to hopefully to get me to school 30 minutes away. Didn't have much. But back then, gas was cheap, so it kind of got almost a quarter of a tank. Put $2 in a day. It'll be like, what? What are you going to do? Go from one side to the other of the car? I mean, back out of the driveway and come back? Fleshly results are temporary. But the Holy Spirit that produces the love, the joy, the peace, that's always going to be there. That's always going to be there on the inside of you. Use it to your advantage. In your relationship with God, in your relationship with people, in your relationship on your jobs, use it to your advantage. The world doesn't have that. You can slap it around all day long. If you don't believe me, try it. You'll be more at peace than anything. I said, more trouble coming your way. Why are you just sitting there laughing? Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. You're divinely protected. Fear does not exist in this dojo, does it? No. So what is your faith doing for you? Because when I read the word, I'm seeing these people trusting in God. I trust in the Lord. You trust in the Lord. But yet God is doing something miraculous in their life. When we yield to him, he says, my sheep hear my voice. He will speak to you. Jesus says, and this is eternal life, that you may know the Father. Spend time with the Father. He wants to help you. Holy Spirit wants you to have a relationship with him too. And you can. Just make sure you defer to him before you defer to your own opinions. He loves you. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that they can, if they need a filling in the Holy Spirit, they can go ahead and sing those psalms and spiritual songs, Lord, that they can continue to be filled every single day of their life. And if there's anyone here who has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you want to do that today, raise your hand. And we will get you filled. If you're embarrassed, you can do it at home. You can do it on a car and just ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be more bold in our faith. To put our faith to work. To step out and trust you more. Not to waver when we see the first sign of trouble. But to boldly proclaim what your word says about our situations and about our life and about who you are in Christ. We thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here that is sick in their body, we command your body right now to be healed. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with. The blood of Jesus covers that. eyes, ears, stomach problems, neck problems, back problems, gout, ingrown toenails. Why put up with it? Sciatics. It's not yours. We thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We stand up. Well, before you leave, shake somebody's hand, give them a high five, invite them out to lunch or what have you. And we will see you Wednesday. God bless you. If you're playing pickleball.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.